Want to introduce you to a friend of mine and a man that grew up with Teresa. His name is Joseph McKinney. He's here with us this morning. He is from João Pessoa, Brazil. Say João Pessoa.
João Pessoa.
Very impressive. Raise your hand, Joseph. Just give him a hug and a welcome. We're glad that you're here with us today, brother. They live 2 hours up north from where we live, so we spent a lot of time with them and when we were in Brazil, fellowshipping with them. But today, I want to talk about regaining back our awe of God. When you think of the word awe, the word awe means a reverential state or condition of the mind and heart that results in respectful fear or genuine wonder. We look at things like this beautiful scenery. We see a picture and we are in awe of its beauty. We are sometimes in awe of someone who's very beautiful looking. Somebody who is it draws us to them. It creates a reverential state of awe. But it's interesting, once we become familiar with something, we kind of get bored with it. You know, you can imagine somebody that lives near the Grand Canyon. You know, they see it every day, and after a while, it's just like, well, yeah, that's the Grand Canyon. No big deal. And I find it interesting that when it comes to God, a lot of us have lost our awe of Him. We've read the Bible, we've come to church, we've sing the songs, we've grown up in it, and we're so familiar with it that it no longer excites us. We no longer don't have any that awe, that all of God that we should have. I fear a lot of us have done this. We lose, you know, we've lost that awe of God, and we've created a God in our image that we can control. You know, a good old golf buddy God. Somebody that could go with us and hang out with us and do good things for us. And we've lost our image, our understanding of who God is. Let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ were to walk into this church right now, none of us would walk up to Him and say, "Hey, Jesus, what's up? How you doing?" We would all be on our knees because we would be in the presence of pure holiness and righteousness. In love, we would feel love like we have never felt love before. But we would also feel a sense of woe. And I think we need to get that back. Because I find it interesting in when Isaiah sees the Lord, and by the way, in John 12:41, John reminds us that he saw Jesus' glory. So when Isaiah sees Jesus, he says, "Woe to me," I cried, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Ezekiel, after he has his vision of the Lord, it's interesting, it says he sat for 7 days overwhelmed. And of course, we have Job, who sees not only God face to face, but has a conversation with God that is incredible. Job 38 through 41 is just amazing. But he says, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? My eyes have seen you. And therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Every person that encounters God in Scripture is completely undone. Completely. They realize their sins. They realize their faults. They realize, wow, this is the presence of the Lord. And they are blown away. I fear we have lost our awe because maybe we've been in church all our lives. And it's just become so familiar to us that we forget who we're singing to. We forget who we're praying to. Today, let's talk about regaining back that awe of God that we need for our lives. Let's pray together as we begin. Father, forgive us. For I know all of us here, we can all say that we have lost our all of you. For some of us, we struggle. We've lost our reverence and honor of you and fear of you. We ask your forgiveness today. Help us to regain that back today, Father. I pray for your Holy Spirit will teach us today. We invite your Holy Spirit to teach us and help us see by what we talk about today that the word awesome is only meant for you. You alone are awesome. And I pray that we will get that back in our lives so that we will influence the people around us and continue to stay in a state of humility and dependence upon you. We love you and we honor you. We ask your forgiveness, Father, for being in all of ourselves or other human beings when we should be in all of you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. I find it interesting that the word fear and standing in awe are in the same sentence, don't you? It's like God is trying to tell us when we think of the word fear, we think of it as a negative term, but in the Bible, I think it's more of a positive term because it helps us put us ourselves in the place that we need to be, and that is standing in awe of him. How different would our lives be if we lived in a continual, daily awe of God, an awareness of his presence wherever we go? Why is it that we come to church, we think God is here, but when we leave, you know, suddenly we turn off like a faucet or something. And we treat God like he doesn't exist. Because it would make a huge difference in your life if you realize, what if Jesus was standing next to you at the job? What if he was standing next to you at Walmart or wherever you are this week or this day? In reality, that's who we are taking wherever we go. God is present wherever we are. And if we live with a sense of awe and reverence and fear of his name, it will change how you treat your spouse. It will change how you treat the people you work with. It will change how you deal with annoying people. Why have we lost our awe of God? There's a few reasons. There's actually two reasons. First of all, many of us just don't know God. And because of that, we have a lack of reverence for him. We just don't know him. We've been to church all of our lives, and we you think about, do we really know God? There's a big difference in knowing someone and knowing facts about something. I can know the facts about Michael Jordan. I can quote you everything about him. Okay? For example, I don't know much about Michael Jordan, other than he's a great basketball player. Not baseball. I'm about ready to say baseball. But I don't know him. I know facts about him, but I've never met him. And I wonder for many of us, is that how we have a relationship with God? Is that what defines us? I think the reason why some of us we've lost our awe of God is because we don't know him. So how do we get this awe back? All of God back. Well, obviously to seek him, to know him with all of our hearts, that would be where we would start. Because in reality, how do you get to know someone? How do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them. You talk to them. You listen to them. They become part of your life. And we will, you know, watch how they respond in particular situations. We'll do things together. We will, you know, get to know them by experience. That's how we get to know people. And it's no different with God. We spend time with him. We listen to him. We talk to him. We do things with him. We join him in what he's doing. And we get to know him by experiencing him in our lives. We read the Bible. We pray to encounter the living God. Not to just know a bunch of facts. It's to encounter him. The second thing that will help us get our all back of God is to look at his creation. to look at his creation. This is the beautiful Pleiades constellation. Absolutely gorgeous. God is speaking to us in his universe. The heavens, the universe declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. In other words, the universe is God's greatest evangelist. It preaches his power and his glory. Look at your neighbor and say, there is no one like our God. Say it with him.
There is no one like our God.
Do you believe it? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. There is no one like Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty. He literally, and it's beautiful when you start looking at the earth. Look at just the earth. Look at nature. Look at all around you. And look at what God has done. You know, it's interesting that we are 93 million miles from the earth, from the sun. And if we were any closer, we would burn up. If we were any farther, we would freeze. But it's interesting that we're tilted on a 23-degree axis. If we were not tilted, we would burn up. And our God created this earth with that. And have you ever wondered how small the earth is? Just how small it is? Well, that's the sun, guys, right there. That's us. 960,000 Earths would fit in the sun. We're pretty small. We're pretty small. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told from you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. By the way, I don't know where Columbus got the idea or whoever got the idea that the earth was flat. It's a circle. It says it right in Scripture. And its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens, the universe, like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Did you know that to God, the universe is nothing more than a two-man tent? It's not that big a deal to him. And for the universe, scientists have invented a new measurement because it's so stinking big. You can't measure it with what you got. Miles is not going to work. So one light year, how far light travels in one year? 5,878,000,000,000 miles. If you could go the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, that would equal 5,878,000,000,000 miles. Now, our Milky Way galaxy, and by the way, this is just an idea of what scientists think it looks like. We don't have any pictures of the Milky Way because it's so far out. You have to go awfully far out to take a picture. If you traveled at 186,000 miles per second, it would take 100,000 years to cross our galaxy alone. Oh, and by the way, you are here. That's our solar system right where that arrow is. That's where the scientists guess. That's our little cul-de-sac. And what we know is the Milky Way galaxy. And this is one of millions of solar systems, by the way. They don't even have a number of how many just in our galaxy. And our galaxy is 100,000 light years wide, roughly. Good guess. Now, what's the farthest galaxy? What is the farthest they have ever seen with the Hubble telescope? It's called the Whirlpool Galaxy. And it's 31 million light years. Now remember, how far was one light year? It was 5,870 whatever, stinking far. And you've got 31 million light years away. Can you even put your mind around that? And it's interesting that the Hubble telescope, the scientists said, hey, I wonder what's in the middle of that, you know, that twirling galaxy right there. What do you think's in the middle of that? It's a cross. It's a cross. And God is telling you from 31 million light years away, he is telling you, I love you. I love you. How crazy is that? God shows up all over the place. And we haven't even got to the human body, guys. We'll do that next week. Cross. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Do you know what holds the universe together? The mighty power of God. That's all. That's the glue that holds everything together. To keep everything from becoming chaotic is the Almighty. Here's my favorite. Let's come in a little closer. 28 million miles. 28 million light years away. The Sombrero Galaxy. Isn't it beautiful? The way they took that picture, it's on an angle. Very interesting, and it looks like a sombrero. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. God spoke. God spoke. And look what came out. This is the kind of God we serve. This ain't no mamby-pamby God. This ain't no God that has no... This is the God of the universe. This is the Yahweh that created all things. The Sombrero Galaxy creating God who creates beauty. What are these galaxies doing here? Just glorifying God. What are they there for? They are there for us to show us that God is awesome. Amen? Here's one that'll make you feel really... You can't really see it very well, and I apologize for it. There's just, the picture is just not... We sent out the Voyager 1 in 1977. And it explored all of our solar system and then just kept going. And in 1990, 13 years later, the Voyager was 3.7 billion miles from the Earth. And the scientists, you know, decided, hey, let's command it to turn and take a picture of our, maybe it could see Earth, maybe it could see our solar system. The picture they got back shocked them. This is the Earth, this little dot right here, from 3.7 billion miles away. And what was unusual is these bands are the sun, the rays of the sun coming off the Voyager. Somebody said, every person that's ever lived since Adam and Eve has lived on that dot. Wars have been fought on that dot. People have died and lived on that dot. Are you feeling kind of small? You should be. It's amazing to me how we worry so much about the future. We worry about our so much stuff that we have no control over, and we're on that little dot. What that tells me is God is so big. God is awesome. But you know what? You know what's even more amazing? This Sombrero Galaxy creating God knows you. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. And guess what? He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to know him. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. God knows you better than you know yourself. This God, this God who breathes out universes knows your name today. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what you're thinking before you even say it. He knows you thoroughly inside and out. And he cares. He cares deeply about your life. Are you not in awe? Come on, church, are you not in awe that this whirlpool galaxy created? He loves you. He knows you. He cares about your life. This God of immense power. became a helpless babe in the manger. Man, that blows me away. How does having all of God affect our life? What's the deal, Chris? How do you apply this to your life? Being in awe of God keeps us humble. When you fear the Lord, when you honor God, when you reverence who He is, you realize, I am the created, He is the creator. It keeps you humble towards God and towards each other. Because there's nothing that puts us in our place than that corrects our distorted view of ourselves than standing without defense before the awesome glory of God. Secondly, being in awe of God causes us to worship. If we are not awed with God, then we're going to be awed with ourselves. It works that way. Worship is saying, Lord, I am yours. I love you. I honor you. And you are my God. We should fall at His feet and worship. And thirdly, being in awe of God gives us a confident hope. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is a confident expectation that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. He's faithful to all His promises. And today I want to close out looking at this beautiful passage from Isaiah. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. God doesn't have a birthday. The creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And His understanding no one can fathom. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that God doesn't get tired? God is constant. God is the same. We have chaos in our lives. We have problems. We get the news about the cancer. We get the news about a tragedy. God is still the same. And when I and you are absolutely worn out and we're exhausted and we're tired and we can't go one step further, God says, I will never grow tired or weary. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired, you can ask our teenagers. They get tired. Young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It's interesting, this word, those who hope in the Lord. It's the word, Hebrew word kavah. Say kavah. Say it again, kavah. Those who hope in the Lord. You know, translators have a struggle with this word because you can translate it three different ways. You can say hope, you can use the word trust, or you can use the word wait. All are correct because all of them fit in this verse very nicely. And it's interesting how they're all intertwined here because the Hebrew root word for these three is the word kav, which means rope. And I love the fact that I've got hope, and I've got trust, and I've got waiting on God, and they're all intertwined. And what God is telling me is to hold on. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you got to hold on. They didn't hear you very well. Do that again. Hold on. You've got problems. Hold on. You got problems in your marriage. Hold on. God is going to work and give you hope and peace. So what's going to happen if we hope and trust and wait on the Lord? This is great. Our strength is going to be renewed. Man, have you ever been in a situation where the bottom comes out of your life? Somebody is tragically hurt, say, and you've been at the hospital for 3 or 4 days. It's amazing to me, and I've seen this over and over again, how God will provide an endless supply of strength to people who I would think would not have any strength. You know what I'm talking about. He says we're going to soar on wings like eagles. When we trust in the Lord, when we hope in the Lord, when we wait on God, He is going to carry us through the difficult times. Everybody loves the Footprints poem. You know why we like it? You know where there's two sets of footprints, and then for a while there's only one footprint, and we say, you know, the guy says, what does that mean? And they say, yeah, it's the Lord says it's when I carried you. And we need us to be carried. There's many times in our lives that we need to be carried. And God says, when you hope and you trust in me, it's going to be like flying like an eagle, where there's no issues. And that's when God is carrying you. He says also, we will run and not grow weary. You know, life seems very fast. It seems like you go. And he says, when you trust in me, when you hope in me, when you wait on me, he will empower and strengthen when life is just out of control. And I know many of you today, in this room today, you've come here today, you've come here to get encouraged. You need to be reminded that, man, I've got to hold on for one more week, man. Let me tell you something. When your life seems out of control, that is when God works. You call on him, you trust in him, you hope in him. He says, you're not going to grow weary. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to strengthen you to walk through the difficult times. Thirdly, we will walk and not be faint. We will walk and not faint. I find it interesting that God tells us this through the prophet Isaiah, says, we will walk and not faint. So I soar, I run, and now I'm walking. And I like this because it's talking about my daily walk. You know where the most difficult part of life is? It is not dealing with the problems and the issues and trials of life. It is dealing with the daily grind. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen? Daily grind. Where life just suddenly you feel like you're crawling. It's just you're down to like your knees and it's just you're struggling. And life seems like a crawl. God says, that's where I work. I am the great I am. We sang a little while ago. God is in your future. We talked about this in our Bible class this morning. God is already around the curve. He is already there waiting for you. He already knows the future, so don't stress about it. Don't worry about the economy. Don't worry about the future. Because God is already there. And he's going to strengthen you. He's going to give you grace to deal with the problems and whatever you have to deal with in your life. But it's in the daily grind that we begin to lose our all of God. We get working hard. We get the problems start coming and the bills start piling up and man, we get tired and we forget of who God is. So how do we regain it back? Let that be our priority, to seek to know him more than anything else in our lives, to know him and to look at his creation. I love how God reminds, every day I am reminded just how blessed I am. I see somebody who's blind. I see somebody who's crippled. I see a rainbow. I see a beautiful sunset. See, God speaks to us every single day if we will just open our eyes and see and look for him. This sombrero galaxy creating God, this God who sees the universe as a two-man tent, this God who spoke the universe into existence knows your name today, knows you better than you know yourself. And this God absolutely adores and loves you so much that he was willing to come to this earth, this pale blue dot in the universe, to die in our place so that, for our sins so that we could spend eternity with him. Church, you listening? Say amen.
Amen.
Be most in awe of the cross. Yeah, the universe is beautiful. But what blows me away is this God was willing to become a helpless babe and eventually die in my place and your place. That tells me how much I am worth to God, how much you are worth to God. And today, if you need the prayers of this church, If you need to be encouraged, whatever you're going through, we'll be glad to pray for you. Our shepherds love you and care about you. Maybe you just want to talk about baptism, about getting your life right with God. Whatever you need is, won't you come as we stand and sing?
You are beautiful beyond description.